At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. I'm happy and very excited at this time to be joined by the legendary Mr. Kent Pavelka. This man called Nebraska football games 1974 to 1996, has one of the most legendary calls, some of the most legendary calls, plural, in all of college and Nebraska football history. Also, Nebraska basketball, 74 to 96, and then 06 up until present day. Mr. Kent Pavelka, how you doing, my friend?
Good, Adam. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
Dude, life is good. Life is glorious. Talk to me about, let's talk about the season as a whole for Nebraska basketball. All right. They get a bunch of ranked wins, don't make the Big Ten tournament, rough end of the season until you go to the Crown Tournament, then they win 4 straight. Talk to me about this season as a whole. You're there for each and every game. You're calling the action. What's your takeaways from this entertaining season?
Well, I think that obviously getting to the Crown and winning it put a whole different taste in everybody's mouth than what you walked out of the PBA with after the Iowa win. I mean, that's just night and day. But the thing that kind of bothers me is the public perception from a lot of people, not everybody, but that this wasn't a very good team. They didn't make the Big Ten tournament, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, close games, I know they don't mean anything, but they really do. I mean, you look at 2 shots, 2 field goal attempts, a make by an opponent in that last 5 or 6 games, and a miss by Nebraska. You got 1 more win, and I'll tell you, I think Nebraska's in and good enough to win an NCAA tournament game. And, you know, then all the talk is how great this team was instead of how disappointing they were. But they put a different flavor in our mouths as a result of winning that thing in Vegas. But they're a good basketball team. He's got good talent. And now you got to restock the shelves a little bit because we're losing some good ones.
Talk to me about how you think, because you mentioned the end of the season, they lose 4 or 5 games in a row to end the season, miss the Big Ten tournament. That's a lot of frustration, no doubt about it. But how was Fred able to, because they had a little bit of time off there. And sometimes a team can come back from time off, better for the time off or worse from the time off. Obviously, Fred got them going in the right direction. How do you think Coach Hoiberg was able to turn things around? And they were down by 14 at one time in that Arizona State game. They were down by double digits in the championship game. Something from the inside of that locker room, from a culture standpoint, was turned around during that off time. How do you think Coach Hoiberg was able to do that?
Well, first of all, you know, Bryce Williams and the seniors told him right away they wanted to play. And I don't know that everybody in that tournament wanted to play. And we pretty much had an intact roster, pretty much, compared to some of the others. We had a very intact roster. And those 2 seniors, Bryce and Juwan, were absolutely intent on winning this thing. And I think the rest of the players followed them. And you get down 12-14 in that last game, and it didn't look good. And I think, you know, all that energy that I just described is what they drew on at that point. And, boy, it was a fun game to broadcast at that point on.
I got to ask you, Kent, too, because as we close this up with those 2 seniors, obviously they leave a big legacy here. Juwan bring that MVP home, but Bryce Williams specifically, how is his career kind of compared to others that you've covered here at Nebraska over the years? Because man, he was a joy to watch. It would have been nice to have him, you know, all 4 years, but of course that's not how college basketball generally works these days. But man, was he a joy to watch, and just money on the line when Nebraska needed him here in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you alluded to it. If he had been here more than 2 years, I think that he walks away with unanimous support as one of the best all time. I think he is one of the best all time. But if you play just 2 years, you don't have a chance to make that kind of impact you do if you're there longer. I think he's a pro. He's a delightful guy. I mean, I really enjoyed being around him these last 2 years, and he is he's as good. You know, he's worthy of being mentioned in the consideration for the starting five and the all time best Husker basketball players. I don't know that he's nailed it, but he's right up there for sure.
All right, talk to me about Connor Essejian. All right, he was tied for the leading point scorer in that championship game versus UCF. Him and Bryce Williams. All right, Juwan Gary had 20 points. Connor had 21 along with Bryce. Talk to me about Connor really stepping up during the Crown Tournament, especially during that championship game. This is a guy who's going to be back playing for the Big Red again next year. Husker fans are going to look forward to watching him. But what do you think helped him step up in that Crown Tournament, and how much of an impact or improvement do you think he can even make going forward into next year?
I just think it was the tempo of the game and the way the ball was moving around and the looks he got were really, really good. He is a laser, as they call him. He is that good a shooter. The other thing about him is I've talked to him a couple of times, and there's no question he wants to be here. And he'll be here all summer with his brother. His brother's a student manager on the team. And he's going to put in the effort to even get better for next year. But he is a laser from outside. And I think, I don't have the stats in front of me from the game on Sunday, but he was real close to tying Keisei Tominaga for the most eighth most threes in a single season. And I think he did it on Sunday. So considering the minutes he played compared to Keisei, he was a really valuable piece this year, and he will be even more so next year.
I could be wrong. I know Jake's got a question. I think Connor had 78, K-State had 76. We could double check that, but I know Jake had a question. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, just with, I know there was a concern too among Husker fans as the transfer portal opened during the tournament, Nebraska being out there, that they might, that might be kind of tough for Fred to do. And then we saw, a bunch of pictures of Fred on the phone on the internet, which was kind of fun. But obviously, they've done a good job. Of course, the latest bringing Jamarcus Lawrence back home. How big of a difficulty do you think that was to handle both things there for Fred while he was in Vegas?
Well, I think there's a lot of stress, man. But he gets paid pretty good per hour, doesn't he, Jay? anyway, yeah, he had a lot of balls in the air, including, me bugging him a couple, two or three times a day, or at least once a day to do our pregame show. But I think they weathered it. Obviously, they won the thing. I'm really excited about the names, the guys that they have committed, and they're working on some others I know that are going to be really good ads. And when you think about who's coming back, a lot of people forget Rink Mass is coming back next year. And, if you want to talk about additions to the team next year that weren't here this year, he might be the best so-called recruit that, that we have. I mean, he was so valuable last year. I think with the bigs that are going to complement him and what they're going to put around him, hope springs eternal. It has for 50 years for me. So I'm hanging in there with them.
What are your thoughts on the two transfer portal commits they currently have at this point in time from Iowa, Price Sanford, and then all MAC performer K from Central Michigan, Ugnius Jurevicius, otherwise known as Oogie. I hope I came close to saying that right, but he's from Lithuania transferring here to Nebraska. What are your thoughts on these two guys they have coming in so far?
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
One thought I have is that you got his name down and I don't.
Oh, well, I hope I'm close.
I'm gonna he's Oogie to me.
Okay.
You know, and because if he and Buchtenzel are in the game at the same time, I'm screwed, you know what I mean? Back and forth to those two guys. But I think, you know, look at his stats. I looked at some video. You know, he's a guy that can stretch the floor, like Rink. And so, you know, he can shoot it. You know, he had a really good season. I think he's going to be, when you look at what's leaving versus what he adds coming in, I think they're going to be better at the four or five spots. Sanford is a jewel. And I remember the game at Iowa during a timeout. I turned to Jake Neuheisen and said, I wish we had one of the two. I looked at the Sanford brothers. They're both on the floor. I said, why can't we get a guy like that? Those guys. And they recruited Price really hard, as you know, to bring him in as a freshman. He's a great story. Sometime if we have time, I'll tell you about his family and the connections with Nebraska and a story that after the Iowa game, he and Peyton stopped me and we had a conversation. But he's a laser as well, shoots it that well. And, you know, you forget about Frager and Jankowski. And they've got some more guys coming, so I think they're going to be deep with guys that can play.
All right, I got to ask you as a broadcaster. It's been, you know, obviously it's been great listening to you all my, you know, growing up and all that. So I love listening to your voice. But I got to make you pick between your kids. Matt Davison was really good alongside you. Jake Muehlheisen has definitely stepped up. So I got to make you pick between your kids here.
I'm not going to do that. Maddie and I had a great run. I love him, and Jake is the best. And so is Matt. I can't make that choice, man. We had different kinds of chemistry, I think. We had some great times off the air, believe me, too. Times that, you know, private stuff.
How about this? Because every time I interview, I think I brought you on about this time last year as well. I always want, because you have covered these sports and covered games for so long, legendary career. When you think back to basketball and football over the years, what are some of your favorite moments and or favorite games that you've been able to have the privilege to call?
Well, for football, it was that three straight games that they played for the national championship. I mean, they just are indelible. And, you know, the miss, Byron missed the field goal that would have beat Florida State. We were right there. I mean, that was a moment for me. And then the next year, beating Miami, you know, Schlesinger with the 14-yard run, whatever it was, 2:46 to go, bring that trophy back to Lincoln. I mean, that was electric and chills me right now thinking about it. And then the dominant victory over Miami, Steve Spurrier, and the you know, run and gun. I said the run is done, or whatever it is. I had a pretty good comment on that blowout. But those three, you know, but there were so many games, even back in the 70s and 80s in the booth with Bremser before I sat in the play-by-play chair, just what happened usually was you'd win 9-10 games and, you know, more often than not play Oklahoma and lose and play Miami and lose, you know. You remember that, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake, you do too. And then, you know, they turned the corner on that. And so then in basketball, man, there's so many more games and so many more, so many relationships that are way closer than I developed in football. because you travel with them and you're with them all the time. And, man, it's just been a sweet, sweet thing.
Talk to me about, if you can, all right, the 1996 winning the NIT championship and the crown this year. Obviously, there are some similarities. Obviously, there's going to be a different type of tournament. But how similar is it to you in your mind, and what type of impact do you think it can have for this team going forward?
Well, I think that that 96 team was more talented. You know, Mikey Moore played in the NBA for a long time, and Teron Lew was on that team. I mean, and that was the team that kind of turned on Danny midway through the season. They lost 9 or 10 straight games, and then they had a come to Jesus meeting, and they banded together, and that was what was remarkable, you know, that turnaround to win that NIT. And I think that was a Sweet 16 team, I really do, talent-wise. This team, way more talented than people give them credit for. And like I talked about earlier, just the near misses in that those last six games, and to turn it around. I mean, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation if they hadn't gone to Las Vegas. Everybody wanted to bury that season after March 9th, walking out of the Iowa game. I think, what'd you say about next year, Adam?
How do you think it can impact the team going forward into next year?
Well, yeah. I mean, the guys coming back are going to have that experience, and I think that's valuable. But the key, I think, going forward in college basketball, and probably to a lesser degree, but to a significant degree in football as well, is, you know, every year you got to put a new team together. And, you know, so that makes the summer so important. And that's what's fun for me, to go down and watch them when they get there and meld together. I think you've got to be, as a coach, a guy like they in the NBA when there's, you know, team players are going back and forth and changing jerseys. So, I mean, that's kind of what's happens year to year now in basketball. And Fred's got a really good ability to do that because he's had that exact experience in the NBA. So, I don't have any doubt that they'll put a good product on the floor next year. We'll wait and see. Maybe next year's the magic year with the NCAA and a victory, and I can drop the mic.
That'd be awesome. Well, hold on. Drop the mic. What does that mean? Is that the R word? What does that mean?
I just think that would be a sweet way to go out, wouldn't it? Just, you know, just drop the mic and walk away.
Well, I could respect that if we win the NCAA tournament and that's your choice. I could obviously respect that. Here's one thing I got to throw out there, and then I don't know if Jake has another question or not, but how many tackles can one man break? I'm just going to put that out there. All right, Jake, you got any questions?
Well, just
any more?
The question that's been asked all week is should they raise the banner for this one? But to go in a little bit more deep and more serious about it, I always thought they should, you know, kind of celebrate Nebraska's history. I know they haven't won NCAA tournament games, but you know, we see different, like Iowa football hang up 1900 Big Ten championship
that
banners.
That was fake, that by the way.
So maybe not fake
news.
Ones. Maybe not fake ones. But should there be more banners in general hanging in Pinnacle Bank Arena? Yeah.
Jake, I couldn't agree more. And I hope they really do something about it. Now, I don't know about PBA being not university property and how, you know, how that would work in terms of objections to put more banners up, but they've got some up now already. Every arena we walk into is loaded with a feel of history of the various programs in the Big Ten, and we should do that at PBA. I mean, there are, you could have a Hall of Honor kind of thing that would be maybe just a little, you know, recognize players that were really good contributors that maybe are a little less insignificant than the guys whose jerseys are retired. And there are plenty of players to recognize, and just needs a little creativity and somebody in the athletic department to put it together. You know, I think it would enhance the ambiance, which is also already out of sight at PBA for Nebraska games.
All right, my friend, I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for joining us,
Jake. Adam, thank you guys.
All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.